We actually started this last Sunday night from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And let me get hooked up here while you're finding that. Oh, by the way, the chili bowl today was great. How many people had some chili? Anybody stay after and get some chili? We had a good group stayed after and some tremendous chili. We voted for the best tasting chili. And here it is, the best tasting chili was spicy chili. Did anybody get that? I think it was right on the corner, the spicy chili. It's Amber Jones put that together, and that's what I voted for. And when it was all said and done, she wins first place. So she gets a bottle of Tums, a thing of Tums there for that. And so that was a wonderful time. Ecclesiastes, let me get here, chapter 7. If you would notice down, and verse number 23, and I want to read down through verse 25. Everybody there? Let me get turned on here. All right, here we go. Verse 23, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise. But look at his next statement. But it was what? It's far from me. I want to be wise. I want to be wise. I want to be foolish. I want to be wise in the decisions I make. I want to be wise in how I live my life. I want to be wise in how I react to situations that come in my life. But it was far from me. Look what he says in verse 24. That which is afar off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? What he's referencing is wisdom. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness of madness. Solomon understood, we pointed this out last week, Solomon understood the value of wisdom, the importance of wisdom. I tell you, I read in my devotions this week, as I read through Proverbs, this one verse. I think it's chapter 4, I don't have the reference, but wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And early on in his ministry, early on in his life, as a young man, just becoming king, Solomon understood how important wisdom is. And I tell you, it would help every one of us if we understood how important it is to gain wisdom, to be wise. Now, Solomon's trying to get it where? He's trying to find wisdom where? Under the sun. He's excluded God. He can't find it. It's too deep. He can't get it. So there is no real true wisdom under the sun, but once we come to the Lord. So let me pray, and I would give you just a few thoughts on how to gain wisdom, how to gain wisdom. Father in heaven, I ask you bless now, and I ask you would teach us to be wise. I pray that our actions and our decisions, our ministries, our behavior as a body, as a church body, the body of Christ, corporately, I pray we would be wise. And we need that from the pulpit all the way down through the pew. We need your wisdom. And I pray, Lord, in our homes, that the function in our home and the decisions, our reactions, our interactions, our actions, our attitudes in our homes, God, that you would give us wisdom there to do the right thing, to do that which is best for our homes and our families. And then, Lord, I pray for us individually and myself that you would teach us and give us wisdom, Lord, that we can act and react and interact with people wisely and in a way that is best. I need that, Lord. We all do. So we're looking to you tonight. Please teach us. I give my body to you. I present my body anew, Lord. And I pray that you would teach us from your word through me with the thoughts and the verses and the statements made. So help us, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I started this last week. We already looked at the introduction. I got into it. And I want to say this right up. Me in and of myself, I really don't have much to offer you how to find wisdom. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us how we can get true wisdom. How many folks tonight, you feel like me, you're hungry to be wise. You really want to be wise. How many people are like that? The Bible tells us. It gives us several statements how we can be wise. Number one, and we started on this last week. I probably should have saved it for this week, but we started it last week. Number one, write this down if you're jotting these down. Number one, I've got to desire wisdom intently. I've got to desire it. If I don't care, if I just want to go through life, stumble through life, and not really think about whether I'm being wise in my decisions I make and the actions I take and how I live my life, I'm not going to find it. Nobody's ever going to stumble upon wisdom. I've got to want it. I've got to want to be wise. And we went to Proverbs chapter 2, if you would turn back there. And we're going to look at a number of verses that state specifically how to get wisdom. Come back to Proverbs chapter 2 with me, if you would. And I know we touched on this last week, but I want to go over it. Proverbs 2. And beginning in verse number 1, notice he says here, and I wrote a few little statements out in the margin as I go down through here. I'll share them with you. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." Now, I put in the margin at the beginning of that chapter, I put how to get wisdom. He tells us here. First of all, he says, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." That I put this down. Pay attention. Pay attention. I've got to want wisdom. If I want wisdom, I'm going to pay attention. That word incline means this. It's a neat word. It means this: to stretch out the ear. Incline thine ear into wisdom. Stretch it out. We had the funeral yesterday, and there was an old guy talking to me, and he was just, you ever get cornered? You know what I'm talking about? And he was just talking about a half hour. He's going on, and he had soft voice, and he was about 190 years old, and he's talking to me, and I'm trying to listen to what he says, and without even thinking, unconsciously, I caught myself going like this, bending down, and I'd say, "Say that again." What? And he's going on and on. That's the idea: bending your ear down. And he's saying, when you go through life, pay attention, watch how things happen. You know, a great source of wisdom is watching what happens to other people in the decisions they make. How many people agree with me? I'd rather learn from someone else's mistake than mine. Yeah, and that might not be nice, but I'd rather do it that way. And so we can pay attention. Let's look how people react. Let's look how people respond to things. What's the consequence of that? Pay attention. Then he says this, "And apply thine heart to understanding." Apply myself. Apply myself. And he says, "If thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding." That's prayer. So I pay attention. I apply myself. I pray. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her for hid treasures." That's pursue. As much as I work for that dollar and pursue after making that buck, I ought to be pursuing wisdom, looking for wisdom. And so desire wisdom intently. Then look at verse 5. He says, "Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." And so, number one, if I want wisdom, I got to do what? Say it with me. I must desire wisdom intently. Number two, write this down if you would. Jot this down. I must direct my focus to the Word of God. Direct my focus to the Word of God. First of all is desire. I got to want it. Any situation I come into, all right, I want to be wise. I want to react wisely. I want to respond wisely. I want to behave myself wisely. All right, I got to desire it. God, I need wisdom. And number two, direct my focus on the Word of God. Come to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19. It's interesting, in this psalm, it's a psalm on the Word of God. He starts out about creation, then he starts praising the Word of God. He makes a statement there about a source of wisdom. Psalms 19, look at verse number 7 with me. Everybody with me? Everybody all right? Look at verse 7. It says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." All right? That tells me one thing. If I want to see people saved, I need to give them the law of the Lord. Right? Give them the Word of God. You say, "Preacher, I don't know how to witness." Well, get some Bible verses and give it to them. That's a start. Because that's how God converts the soul. Then he says this: "The testimony of the Lord is sure." Look at his last statement. "Making what? Wise the simple." You know what this verse is telling us? That the Word of God can make me wise. Anybody here ever feel simple? You say, "Man, I just don't feel like I have it." Jacob and I are the only two that feel that way. I'm with you, man. The Bible says, you feel like, "Man, I don't have that wisdom I need. I need wisdom in life." The Bible says, come to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. The Word of God will give me wisdom. There's a fake wisdom out there. Anybody hear fake news? There's fake wisdom. Go to James with me, if you would. James chapter 3. And the Bible tells us about fake wisdom. Oh, it looks like wisdom. It looks like news. It sounds like news, but it's fake. And this world has wisdom. It looks like wisdom. It sounds like wisdom. They call it wisdom, but it is fake. James chapter 3 and verse number 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom that is bitter and envious and dishonest, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Earthly, sensual, devilish. So this earthly wisdom, this fake wisdom, is characterized by selfishness, seeking my own way. It descends from above. It is earthly. It is accepted by the world. This world says, oh yeah, that's the way you act. How many people agree with me? The world's wisdom says, look out for number one, right? Dog eat dog. We were talking, last couple of days I was talking to somebody in the business world and they said, it is cutthroat. It is dog eat dog. Every man's out for himself. And it seems like higher up the ladder, the bigger the dollar is, the more cutthroat it becomes. And that's the world's wisdom. You got to look out for number one. It's, you know, you cut the other guy down and you get in his place. That is fake wisdom. The world operates that way. Then it says it is earthly. It is sensual. I put down this. It appeals to the flesh. Old sinful nature. And then it says sensual, devilish. It's approved by the devil. Devil says, oh yeah, that's good. You work that way. You respond that way. And he says, where envying strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. All right, so there's a fake wisdom. So if I want to be wise, I need to direct my focus on the Word of God and come to the Word of God. I know you're tired of hearing it, I guess, but we ought to read our Bible every single day. All right, I was talking to someone recently. They said, I've been away from God. I'm living for God. God's been working on my heart and I'm coming around. And he said, preacher, about two, three months ago, I started reading my Bible every day and God is helping me and it's having an effect in my life. How many people ever found that to be true? The Word of God gives us wisdom. I ought to read my Bible every single day in the morning. Let God speak to my heart. The greatest source of wisdom is God's Word. It teaches me how to have the right attitude. Have the right attitude. Anybody here ever have a bad attitude and you knew it? I don't mean right now. I mean at some point. Bad attitude. If my attitude's stinky, and you, this may shock you, sometimes I get a stinky attitude. It's hard to believe, but it's true. You know what I found the best thing to do? Is get alone, lock myself up somewhere, get my Bible out, stick my nose in the Bible, say, God, straighten this thing out. And God brings verses to mind. Isn't that something? God will speak a heart and help me get my thinking straightened out. So the greatest source of wisdom is the Word of God. Helps me be wise in my attitude, wise in my actions. I was thinking the other day, we studied the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know about you, but our study on the Sermon on the Mount on Wednesday nights had a profound impact on my heart. And anytime I thought of this, for any Christian, if you want to know how to respond or how to react to any given situation, go to the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us how to deal with enemies. He tells us how to deal with temptation. He tells us how to deal with attitudes, the Beatitudes. It covers the whole gamut of the Christian life. He said, I don't know how to treat this person. Go to the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know how to react in this situation. Go to the Sermon on the Mount. And he tells us what a disciple is, wise actions, how to interact with others. In the Bible, I find caution from dangers. You know what messes us up? We don't pay attention to God's warnings. God says, don't do that. Watch out. Stay away from this. Separate yourself from this. And we don't pay any attention to it. We go barreling right in there. And next thing you know, we got a mess on our hands. So, number one, if I want to be wise, I need to desire wisdom intently. God, I want to be wise. I want to apply myself. I'm going to pursue it. Number two, direct my focus on the Word of God. Number three, jot this down. I thought this was interesting as I was studying this. I never noticed this before. Discern the brevity of life. The brevity of life. I get this from Psalms chapter 90. Psalms 90 makes a statement here about gaining wisdom. Look at verse number 12. Psalms 90, verse 12, if you have it there. He says this, and actually, this is Moses writing this. So teach us, under the inspiration of God, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto what? Wisdom. What's he saying there? He's saying if we understand how short life really is, that is going to help us evaluate the priorities of life, be more careful how I use my time. I don't know how many people are like this, but there are some folks, sometimes we got a pile of money in our pocket. You know, we just got a ton of money. You got all that money. And we tend to be a little more generous, or what's the word I want? We tend to be a little more liberal in our spending our money when we got a pile of it. You say, preacher, I've never had that happen to me. I don't know what that's like. But then when that pile starts getting a little short, what do we start doing? We're a little bit more what? A little more careful. I went down to the bank on, what was February 1st? Thursday? Was that the 1st? I went to the bank. First thing, it opened up 9 o'clock. I went to the drive-thru. I got down there. That thing was lined up out the parking lot, up the road. I got in line, waited there 20 minutes, a half hour, finally got in. I said, what in the world? Are you guys giving away money today or what? She said, nope, it's the first day of the month. Everybody's cashing their checks. First of the month, all these checks come in. I said, ah. You know what I found out when I was on Bible time? We got salary once a month. And I got paycheck once a month. So that paycheck had to last all month. Boy, the first week of the month, we lived it up. We had a time eating out steak, you know, had a big time. By the end of the month, we're eating beanie weenies. Why? Because it got towards the end, and the shorter that money stack got, the little more careful we were with the money. Right? You know what I'm saying? Hey, that same principle is true with time. A young person's just living it up, going wild, crazy, wasting days, sitting, play video games 12 hours a day, just squander it all away. Well, you start getting 57, 58, you start thinking, man, I see that dead end out there around the road. I better be a little more careful with my time. I don't got a whole lot left here, and start running it down. Some of y'all, my dad said one time, I don't buy green bananas. And he said, I'm running out of time. And, but you follow what the Bible's saying here? If I understand how brief life is, I'm going to be a little more careful how I use my life. These crackpots jumping off of bridges with a rubber band tied to their leg. You know, I'm too expendable for that. God don't need me that bad, you know, to be doing that kind of stuff. I want to be careful with my life. And so we understand how brief it is. We understand how fragile life really is. It'll help us be wise and be careful in the use of our time and our priorities in time. And we understand, hey, that judgment's not far out there. After death cometh a judgment. Man alive. I've used this illustration before when I was in my early teens. It was just my dad and I at home there. He drove truck. He'd pull out Sunday night early Monday morning. He'd be gone. And he wouldn't show up till Friday night, sometimes it was Saturday. And when he'd leave a list of stuff to be done. All right, Dennis, he called me Denny. Now he calls me Dr. Denny. But he'd leave that list of stuff. And I need this done by the end of the week. That better be done by the time I get back. Monday, I could care less about that list. Tuesday, Wednesday, about Thursday night, Friday morning, I thought, I ought to look at that list there, see what's going on. At the end of the time, I start paying attention because judgment was coming home off the truck here in a little bit. And we understand how brief life is. Judgment's coming here, not too long. I got to be ready. Follow what the Bible's saying here? We had a fellow, I used this illustration. Here's the problem. I was thinking about this afternoon. Problem with pastoring the same church for 25 years, you use up all your illustrations and you just got to keep using them over and over. But there's a fellow in our youth group. The guy was in a wreck when he was young and it wasn't their fault. And he got this huge settlement, insurance settlement. I mean, huge. The kid was loaded, 15, 16 years old, and one of the richest members of the church. The guy was loaded, but he was in installments. He only got so much a month. And so, but he was still, it was significant. So we would go off to King's Island. We'd take these trips down the amusement park. And of course, you know, Steve's loaded, his wallet's packed out. Well, you'd have to, we had about 50 teens, and about 20 of them, 25 were girls, which meant you had to stop every exit, you know, for a rest stop. Every exit, Steve would go in, he'd buy all this stuff, and he'd come out, just armloads of Coke, and he'd coffee and chips and everything. Everybody's, yay, Steve! And they'd eat it all. Then we'd stop again 2 miles down the road. Reach it, Pastor, I got to stop. All right. And he'd come out, all this stuff. By the time we got to the amusement park, Steve was broke. He spent the whole thing up. And he said, Pastor Dennis, can you lend me some money to get in? I said, Steve, you make more money in a month than I make in 5 years. Why are you borrowing money from me? Oh, I blew it all on the way down. Hey, if we understand how brief life is, we're a little more careful. We don't blow opportunities. Anybody follow what we're saying here? If there is an eternity, it is foolish to live for now. And if there is a God, it is foolish to live for self. So, what do we say? Number one, say it with me. Desire wisdom intently. Number two, direct my focus on the Word of God. Number three, discern the brevity of life. Number four, jot this one down. Diligently pray for wisdom. Diligently pray for wisdom. Last week, Brian Schofield was talking to me, and he was saying when he got saved, something God stirred his heart back up in Boston as a young boy. He said, I began asking God, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. I'll tell you what a wise young person is one that prays for wisdom. James 1:5, what's it say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And I want to urge us, myself included, let's ask God for wisdom. Let's ask God for wisdom. I mentioned this a number of times. Years ago when Chip moved down to Florence to work with Beacon, before he left, he said, Pastor, I'm going to pray for you every day. And I believe he does. I get texts from him. Very often, Preacher, I'm praying for you today. He says, what do you want me to pray for? I said, Chip, I want you to ask God to give me three things. Number one, ask God to give me compassion, that I just care about people, that I love people. I want God to give that to me. I said, number two, ask God to give me courage. And I appreciate your prayers for this. I don't want to be afraid to preach what God's Word says under any circumstances. I want courage from God to be able to preach the truth. And I said, Chip, number three, pray for me this. Pray that God would give me wisdom, that I'd be wise. And I pray that so much. And my Bible says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. We won't take time to turn there. Jot this reference down. Job chapter 28, verse 12 through 28. And Job says, you can't buy wisdom. You can't dig it out of the ground. All the rubies in the world. It says the only source of wisdom is by coming to God. I'm putting this in my own words. The only source of wisdom is coming and seeking it from God. Because God gives wisdom. God gives wisdom. Number five, and last of all, put this one down. I must devote myself to Christ. Devote myself to Christ. Desire it intently. Direct my focus on the Word of God, discern the brevity of life, diligently pray for wisdom, and number five, devote myself to Christ. And I get that from Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. Think about this. Jesus Christ designed and created and sustains everything that exists. How many people agree with me? That takes some brains. No dummy is going to create this universe, design it and create it and then sustain it. So our Creator, Jesus Christ, is pretty smart. He's pretty wise. And if I want wisdom, I need to devote myself to Christ. Let me make this statement. I believe this with all my heart. There is no true wisdom apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no true wisdom apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've seen it. I have seen it. Where somebody's living for God, they're strong, they're wise, making good decisions, living godly, pure life, witnessing. And then all of a sudden, you you start seeing him making some dumb decisions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You think, what are you thinking, man? Why are you doing that? You know what I've found? Every single time, their relationship with Christ has deteriorated. They're not walking with the Lord. And that wisdom's gone. They start making foolish decisions. So I must devote myself to Christ. There is no wisdom apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's something interesting. I want to challenge you to read a chapter from Proverbs correspond to that day's date. Today's the 4th, right? This morning I read Proverbs chapter 4. Keep thy heart with all diligence at the end of the chapter, for out of it are the issues of life. Wisdom is the principal thing. I think it's verse 7. And therefore get wisdom. I want to challenge you. If you do that, number one, I challenge you to do that. Number two, if you do, sometime do this. Or at least open up the book of Proverbs and replace the word wisdom, put Jesus. Instead of wherever that word wisdom is, put the word Jesus in there. And you will be amazed how often that fits perfectly. Makes perfect sense. Now, there's a few where it doesn't quite. But overwhelming majority of the places in the book of Proverbs, if you put the word Jesus, the name Jesus, in the place of wisdom, it fits absolutely perfectly. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is our wisdom. I had a roommate in college. He was insane. It seems like all my roommates were insane. I was the only sane one in all my things. Dean Damaris, great guy. I love that man. And he was insane in a fun way. But he was insane. But old Dean, he was from Minnesota. And he got saved. We were roommates for a while. And one day, the guy was always cold. You look like, seems like someone from Minnesota living in Chattanooga, it would be nice. But he was always cold. No matter what it was, he was freezing to death. One day he came in with this electric heater. And I was going to sleep. I worked till 11. I got home. He's studying. So I went to sleep. He had taken that electric heater, turned it on full blast. You know, it's already about 70 degrees out. And he turned that thing on. I woke up in the middle of the night. I thought I was in purgatory. I mean, it was so, I said, we're on fire. And he's across the room there. And he says, what's going on? I said, what's going on? The place is on fire. He goes, oh, no, I just turned the heat up. I was cold. So anyway, of course, being in the room, being roommates together, he told me his testimony. Dean was in drugs, big and wild, living in the world. And somehow, in that lifestyle, in that thing, he had got to reading the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, how that came about, other than God, there's no explanation. And he told me, he said, Brother Dennis, he said, I was reading Ecclesiastes. And he said, I'd read these statements, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And he said, that was my life. And he said, I read how Solomon pursued wealth. And he said, I was trying to make money and there was no fulfillment. And I was living in sin and said, just debauchery. And there was no fulfillment. And he said, it wasn't until I came to the Lord Jesus Christ that I found purpose. And my life was no longer vain. It was no longer empty. There was no longer vexation of spirit. But now there was peace and there was purpose. And he says, the solution to the vanity of Ecclesiastes is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so if I want to be wise, I need to know Jesus Christ is my Savior and I must be committed to Him. To listen to Him, follow His instructions, yield my will to Him, let Him live His life through me. And that is wisdom. And that is wisdom. Solomon's under the sun. He's living in this world and he says, I want to be wise. He knew what wisdom was. He had it at one point. It's gone. I'm trying to find inner sun and I can't find it. It's out of reach. It's too deep. I can't get it. And the Bible tells us how to get it. We've got to look beyond the sun. Got to look above that, and the Lord will bless us. How many people want to make wise decisions this week? Say, I don't want to make dumb decisions. I don't. Man alive, I'm going to be halfway around the world. I'm going to be stupid getting the wrong plane. Right? I don't want to be stupid in life and make wrong decisions and go the wrong way. And so we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. Father, please help us to be wise. If nothing else, Lord, please put that desire in our hearts. I need it. Lord, I just look at myself and I see such foolishness in my own heart. And so we look to you. Give us the desire. Teach us to spend time in your word. Help us to pray for wisdom. Devote ourselves to you. And Lord, we're going to claim your promise that you will give us wisdom and you'll help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many like me say, preacher, I want to be wise. I really do. And I see I need the Lord's wisdom. Any like that with me on this? Yes. And maybe on a snowy February Sunday night, maybe just kneel on an old fashioned altar could make a difference and turn things. We can start being wise in our home, in our work, in our church, our ministries, and God would start working. So let's maybe do that tonight. Seek the Lord. Father, bless our invitation, I ask, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. As Jennifer plays the invitation.